Exquisitely the cage was wrought, with pillars carved in jade and perches made of ivory, all beautifully inlaid, with semi-precious stones and pearl that glittered in the light, reflected off the marble floor. A truly royal sight. She saw it through the doorway as she passed by on the street, standing in the corner of the shop that sold antiques. She went inside and said,
"My man, that cage is very nice. Tell me, where's it come from? And what is the price?"
"The Queen of Sheba owned it once,"
the man replied with haste.
"A very fair and fine antique for people who've got taste. A bit of polish here and there will bring it up a treat. But don't forget the bird inside. He needs to eat."
She took it home that very day and placed it in the hall.
Perfect.
Beside the walnut writing desk that stood against the wall. It sparkled as the evening sun shone through the open door, for she'd washed it down and polished it until her arms were sore.
"Feed me,"
sang the bird.
"Please,"
he cried. But the lady only saw the cage and not the bird inside. That night, when she retired to bed, she dreamt of royal cages, the kind enjoyed by kings and queens and princes through the ages. She dreamt of Chinese mandarins, of rajas, and of sheiks. But no one had a cage to match her newly found antique. When at last the sun arose, she woke up from her sleep. And though she wasn't washed or dressed, she ran down to take a peep and stood there in the hallway gazing at her new possession. But didn't hear the plaintive call, so great was her obsession.
"Feed me,"
called the bird.
"Please,"
he cried. But the lady only saw the cage and not the bird inside. She thought a party would be nice,
yes,
in honour of the cage. So going through her address book, she went from page to page, inviting all the people whom she wanted to impress to come for tea on Saturday in formal evening dress. She hardly could contain herself while sending out the cards. Thinking curtains would be nice, she purchased several yards of silk brocade to make the cage more beautiful than ever, and stayed up sewing all night long. So great was her endeavour.
"Feed me,"
begged the bird.
"Please,"
he cried. But the lady only saw the cage and not the bird inside. On Thursday night, she started making all the preparations, from currant buns to angel cakes, in great anticipation of all the guests who said they'd come to see the new antique. The vicar, Mrs. Balderdash, and all her social clique. She cleaned the cage on Friday till it sparkled like a pin. But never saw the starving bird who begged for food within. And then, forgotten far too long, he tumbled from his perch.
What was that?
Yet managed with his dying breath a final feeble chirp. Implored the bird. He cried, and then, without another word, he breathed his last and died. On Saturday, she cleaned the cage and polished it with pride, quite unaware the bird was dead and lying there inside. But by the time the doorbell rang, the smell was growing strong. She thought,
"Although I've cleaned the cage, there's something very wrong."
In twos and threes, the guests Vicar, arrived and gathered in the hall, all around the polished bird cage where it stood against the wall.
"Oh, thank you."
Just then, an unknown guest arrived, without an invitation. His shaven head and flowing robes a cause of consternation. A lady dropped her sandwiches. The vicar spilled his tea. The guest began to speak with utmost gravity. And one by one, they all agreed it really was absurd. For only one devoid of sense could fail to see the bird. Shocked at her short-sightedness, they asked,
"Why have you never thought to give the bird some food?"
Inquiring,
"Is it clever to only see the cage and not the bird who lives within?"
"You've killed it with your negligence."
"It really is a sin."
"The cage, my dear, is very nice, as anyone can see, and shouldn't be neglected by the likes of you and me. But what a dreadful thing you've done! So foolish and absurd to think the cage is everything and never feed the bird."
So great was her embarrassment, she tried to run and hide. but slipped upon the Persian rug and fell upon her side into the antique birdcage, which then toppled to the floor and broke into 1,000 pieces. Some say even more.
Poor dear.
Exquisitely that cage was wrought, with pillars carved in jade, and perches made of ivory, all beautifully inlaid, with semi-precious stones and pearl that glittered in the light, until it smashed upon the floor, no more a royal sight. Don't think this body all in all, and starve the soul inside, and waste the chance of human life, misled by foolish pride.